You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show this week in WordPress and SaaS. This is episode 926. We've got a friend of the show, somebody that's been on the show a few times, but we've got Tom Fernandi with us, the CEO of Conversio. We're going to be talking about Conversio's recent pathway into marketing automation, what led them into that, what are some of the trends that he's noticing in the professional WordPress space, his own thoughts about some of the controversial comments around Gutenberg, and my attempt to get him into trouble, but he can handle me so easily. So, Tom, would you like to quickly give an intro to the tribe?
Love to. Thank you. It's great to be back with you. Hopefully we'll be back more frequently these days. So it's always good to hang out with all of your listeners and you. So I'm Tom, the CEO and co-founder of Conversio. And historically, we've done scalable WordPress hosting for mid-market to enterprise e-commerce stores. But as Jonathan just alluded to, we're broadening our set of products that we have. And really, the plan for us is to transition from just a hosting company to...
Don't give all the... you want to give that when we come back, Tom.
All right. Very good.
All right. Sorry to interrupt, but you were going into full... You can tell the enthusiasm, couldn't you, Tribe? So, Kurt, would you like to quickly introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Yeah, my name is Kurt Von Annen with Manana Nomas. We focus largely on membership and learning websites, and we work directly with providers like WP Tonic and Lifter LMS.
That's fantastic. Before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great interview, I got a couple messages from our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
We're coming back, folks. I also want to point out we've got some great special deals from the sponsors, plus a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. You can get all these free goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals, and you'll find all the goodies there. What more could you ask for, my beloved WordPress professionals? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get on that page. I'm sorry to disappoint. I've made a career of it. So, Tom, sorry to interrupt. You were going into full flow there, but I just had to rein you back, did I, Tom?
But no problem.
But maybe you can go in now into some of the business logic and the discussions you were having with your team, and why you decided that it was the right step for Conversio to enter the marketing automation area.
Sure. Well, actually, you know, I want to go back to, not to pick on my fellow host, but
I do all the time.
I know you like sizzle. So let's jump right in. We'll go, it's always bothered me that hosting companies have acquired plugins. And the reason why, I understand why they do it, but it feels like, you know, I'm going to go to a host, which is this holistic sort of platform that's going to provide the infrastructure to run whatever it is that I have. But they're then going to acquire and be like, you get these free suite of plugins that might do a very narrow thing. And so it always felt sort of like, it always felt sort of like a kind of shoehorning people into, hey, you get these plugins with us. And I understand all the various reasons why hosts might want to do that, but it was something that I knew we were likely not going to do in the same way other hosting providers did it. And so what we've really focused on is trying to help e-commerce stores grow and scale. And we want to be as aligned incentive-wise for them to sell more. And so if you look at the alternatives out there, you have Shopify doing a great thing, but they're very closed, right? It's a closed platform and it works well. They've done a lot of great stuff. We are really trying to be a sort of open source hosting stack alternative to what Shopify is doing. And so in order to kind of do that, we wanted to provide this powerful platform to scale WooCommerce and commerce-based websites that could be, you know, membership sites like Lifter and LearnDash. It could be publisher sites where you're monetizing your audience. And so part of that is that's a great foundation to have, but then how do we get customers to come back to these stores? We noticed a pretty large gap that even mature stores weren't doing abandoned carts and cross-sell, upsell at the level that they should. So we actually started helping people implement things like cart flows. And so we saw great success. It was like we could implement cart flows on someone and more than pay for their investment in Conversio. And so when we started to realize we could help stores actually drive revenue by sort of just coaching them and standing beside them, we saw the opportunity for that. And that's really what started to shift our thinking of, could we be this full stack where you could host, convert, and now pay? And so you'll notice in the last couple of weeks, we've launched a payment solution. So our nav on our site's really changed. We have hosting, which is what people know and love us for. We've got Convert, which is this product that we acquired, which was an amazing platform by the ArtBeast team. That's the team behind the Jupiter X theme on ThemeForest. So it's one of the biggest WordPress themes out there. And also Sellkit, which is an awesome sort of cart flows alternative. So they had built this standalone marketing automation platform for Shopify, WordPress, and a variety of plugins, integrates with HubSpot. And so we basically took that over and rebranded it Conversio Convert. And then finally, we've been working for the last year on a payment solution. And so we just launched that publicly on our website as well. So this is the first we're making a public announcement of it on this show, Jonathan. Breaking news.
Breaking news. Thank you for that, Tom. I'm going to ask you the obvious question here, but that's what I do, Tom. Ask the obvious. What you're attempting is a bit tricky in some ways, because obviously you want to offer more value to your target audience, and by offering more value for them to be more loyal to Conversio. But on the same breath, you've mentioned cart flows a couple times now. The problem is, well, I don't know if it is a problem, and that's why I'm going to ask you this question, is that you've built a semi-competitor now to Cartflows. You've built a semi-competitor to a host of other plugin providers. They're no longer going to have a lot of goodwill for you, Tom, and they're not going to send anybody maybe to Conversio, because you're no longer a neutral hosting provider. You're now seen as a quasar competitor. So you must have thought this out, because you're much brighter than me, Tom.
Yeah.
and you must have discussed this with your team. So what was the discussion and why did you decide to move forward? Was this a thing that you were thinking about, or has the whole thing that I've just outlined you reject as a concept anyway?
No, I think that, you know, our first, by the way, we're not prohibiting anyone from running any plugins on our platform. So they can run whatever they want to run. You know, for us, there's a difference between having the ability to solve real problems that we want to innovate on for our clients. I can't control what Cartflows does. And we sort of have this vision. And by the way, I will tell you that this vision right now is beyond WordPress. So, you know, we feel like there is a lot of, you know, there is a lot of other e-commerce platforms out there. And the reality is, and I've spoken about this before, there will come a time people outgrow WooCommerce. Okay. And our, you know, we have clients doing over 100,000 orders a month on WooCommerce. So we have scaled it to the largest stores, you know, using WooCommerce. And I love WordPress and WooCommerce, but, you know, we will lose people from the ecosystem if we feel like WooCommerce is the solution for everyone. It's at some point people make business decisions to go off of WordPress. And so we want to be for those that are interested in still using an open source solution, a platform for them that's agnostic and not married into one content management platform. And so that's the interesting thing about this acquisition is it is completely, it's a SaaS application. It does have a WordPress plugin to integrate to WordPress, but it's a SaaS application. And it has historically, although we're not, you know, marketing this feature and using it, as historically integrates to Shopify. And so we're really trying to be an open source home for all commerce-based businesses. And we want to provide a suite of tools that allow you to convert your customers, pay, and host. And we think we can do that better than the competition can. And we think a unified solution we can support holistically around that will accelerate the growth of these stores is going to be the best thing for our customers.
Oh, thanks for that, Tom. Over to you, Kurt.
I just, to kind of expand on that from a customer perspective, thinking about who the avatar is and who the customer is, when you add features, I get excited and I always think, oh, that's awesome. We're going to add all these features. People will be able to do this, be able to do that, we'll grow the business. And I see that positive spin. But then there's the other side of the coin where it's like, adding friction and growth and, you know, like that whole onboarding process. What kind of a nightmare did that present? Like, or has it yet? Like, are people slow to adopt, or are people excited and jumping in?
Well, I will give you one little tidbit on this, which, and by the way, this is, you know, to your point, we're very different than the mainstream hosting providers out there. You know, we don't sell, you don't do business for $15 or $20 a month with Convessio, right? And so, you know, our average customers like spending for a single site between $400 to $600 a month. These are mission critical stores. You know, our average e-commerce store does $300K a month in sales on WooCommerce. And so we have by nature a more premium hands-on approach. We support our clients in Slack, for example. So the fact that we do charge more enables us to provide a much more concierge, white glove type of service. So we're used to that. That's part of our DNA, is to be very high touch with our clients. And that's why we've been hesitant to go down market, quite honestly, that's a big identifier. If you talk to anyone that uses Convessio, they'll rave about our support.
Yeah.
And you can't do that at the prices Hostinger is charging, right? Bluehost are charging.
Did you have to swear there, Tom? We're trying to keep it family friendly, Tom.
So, you know, I, and if you're comfortable with that, that's great. But these stores need more of this handholding. And so, I don't know if we are into the whole, marketing automation game deep enough yet, Kurt, to tell you like it's been hard or it hasn't been hard. I will tell you one of the things as we talk about, we have like greenfield customers who don't have anything. Very excited to talk about this. And here's the message that resonates. Anytime you talk, nobody wants to change hosting, but they want to grow revenue. Okay. And that is a completely different conversation than can I get you to host a strategy at Investio is that we do think Convert will be a front door. You don't have to host on Investio to use Convert. Today we're pretty much taking it to our customer base, but eventually this thing could be a new front door of people signing up and getting to know Convessio through that, as well. And so, I think people are very interested in the conversation because it's growth oriented instead of just, switch hosting, which, hosting can be a love hate relationship with folks.
Yeah.
Nice.
If I stick more to the questions, do you think that there was any main lesson or any great obstacle you guys surpassed in the purchase process for this product and coming to market?
This was just a very good example at being in the right place at the right time, talking to the right people. The conversation with us and ArtBees started actually over partnering was on CellKit and having a relationship there. And, that was such an impressive plugin. And that team, I can't sing their praises enough. They build extremely high quality stuff. They are very, very good. And so it just so happened through those conversations, they're like, well, we have this other product that we're actually sunsetting and we're trying to find a home for it. And so maybe this would be something you would be interested in. And the fact that that team had spent all of the time to build this as a standalone SaaS application and that it married with our future vision of going even beyond WordPress and not being strictly a WordPress plugin just really worked with us because, we want to take that and integrate it into Convessio Pay. It currently is integrated into Stripe. And so you can start to imagine all the wonderful things you can do when you have the infrastructure for the e-commerce store, the email personalization and automation engine for your customers, and the payment processing. And so, imagine when you can look at all of those things holistically and when a customer has a big sale, you can tie all of the increased resources to sales, to payment processing. You can start to see the velocity at which transactions were occurring. There's a whole host of things. And just to give you a little teaser, if you have access to all of that data and you layer something like AI on top of that with an LLM, you can begin to surface some very interesting insights about your customer's shopping behavior, your purchase behavior, your store's behavior, conversion rates, all of that stuff. So it's very, very interesting when you start to look at what we'll be able to take to market with someone who's using the holistic Convessio stack. And that's kind of the dream.
Nice. Jonathan, over to you.
Yeah, I've got a quick follow-through question. I'm sure you thought about this as well. When you were in the process of deciding to go down this road, were you concerned about diminishing your marketing message? And what I mean by that, Tom, is it a hosting provider? But now you're adding the marketing automation. So are you a marketing SaaS provider or are you a hosting provider? Or were you less concerned about that because of the type of clientele that are attracted to Convessio in the first place?
Yeah, that's a good question. We have this conversation internally a lot that people come to us expecting a hosting provider. we don't want to distract or diminish the conversion rate of that traffic, of course, right? So we have to figure out a way to make this messaging all work together. But I will tell you that strictly from the perspective of the hosting terminology, we have tried to stay away from that. You'll notice that we refer to ourselves a lot as a platform. We've tried to distance ourselves from what I would call the traditional hosting solutions, because we are this scalable Docker-powered platform. And so we've tried in the past to present ourselves as more of a platform play, and we've tried to go above and beyond of what other hosting providers would provide in support and services that we offer, like New Relic diagnostics and infrastructure consulting and all that kind of stuff. But I think now is the time where we're beginning to become that larger platform solution. And so we're sensitive to that. We definitely don't want people to get distracted if they're looking for product A on product B and C. But I think that the messaging that we tell our customers and our prospects about us being this holistic solution is actually resonating much better than what the traditional hosting message was.
I'm just surmising. I would imagine the price point that you start with, you're going to attract more established businesses.
Yes.
They probably been exposed to a lot of solutions, so they're probably more open to a message around platform than maybe other people. What I mean by that is that a lot of the hosting providers, the more technical, they tend to aim at the agency, at the power of freelancer market. That's why they go to WordCamps a lot, and that's or it's even some of the bigger providers, that's why they support WordPress, because they want access to the agency market. But what's, I don't know how much of the agency market is part of your customer base, but what has been their reaction to what you've attempting to do?
Very strong. And it's interesting, the agency market, and I don't have I'm not sure that I would say this is what I'm about to say is gospel. It's observation. I've been in the agency space for like 20 years, 30 years, getting ready to be 50. So actually about 30 years. I've been in the agency space. I've been working with agencies, and I found an interesting dynamic that agencies seem to not often focus on email marketing and email automation as much as they do. That's like a specialty almost. Yes. There are agencies out there that just do email marketing and do it very, very well.
Well, I think, I'm sorry to interrupt, hopefully I'm contributing something rather than just being rude, is those services tend to be performance orientated, aren't they? And that's why they shy away a little bit from it, don't they? Because building the website and providing the technical side of it through support plans is finite, isn't it? It's black and white. If you get into the marketing consultancy, it's all around performance, where you're going to be judged, isn't it? Do you think I'm correct about that?
Yes, absolutely. It's not so much you're measured on a deliverable, but you're measured on now results. So it's like, hey, why is my open rate low? Why didn't I get so many clicks from my email? And that stuff is somewhat foreign to the person who's building websites and maintaining them and a technical resource. Now, one of the things we're really evangelizing is, and this is why we built Convessio Pay. Okay. So the goal with Convessio Pay is we wanted to allow agencies to earn a revenue share off of the fees that their customers were incurring for payment processing. So we haven't merchandised or talked about this message yet. We just have the retail page up on Convessio Pay, but this is going to be a model to attract agencies. And so you're going to see my messaging start to change over the course of the next few months, where I'm going to be evangelizing to agencies that they need to stop building brochureware sites and start building commerce-enabled sites to create a recurring revenue stream off of the customer's payment fees, which, by the way, Stripe, Woo Payments, none of these guys are very generous at all in sharing any of that back. They're keeping that revenue all for themselves. And so we wanted to build a payments model that enables agencies to be able to get additional revenue streams from their customers' revenue that they're generating. Now, this goes hand in hand with the notion of convert, which is agencies have been very interested in talking to us because knowing how much we work with them to consult with them and handhold them and provide support for them, they've been like, how can I take convert and sell it into my customers? And can I get a reseller revenue share, revenue split off of taking convert into their customer base? And so the agencies have been, I think they're willing to add on additional revenue streams. In fact, I would say they're desperate to find revenue streams, but they want to find revenue streams that are somewhat easy for them and in their comfort zone, right? And so this is really, we want to take the notion of a hosting company and make it a revenue generator for agencies and not just a cost center.
All right. That's fascinating. Thanks for that insight, Tom. I think it's a great spot to have our middle break. And we got some more messages from our major sponsors that we appreciate so much. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. I want to point out that if you are working with a client or have a client and you're looking for a great partner that can help you build a membership or community-focused website, why don't you look at WP Tonic? We want to partner with you. We offer some of the most fantastic packages in the industry. You can go here and find more, and we can build something fantastic together. To find out more, go over to the wp-tonic.com/partners, wp-tonic.com/partners, and then you can book a chat with me and we can see if we're a good fit. So on we go. Back over to you, Kurt, for the next question.
Well, you know, we were just talking about agencies, and now the next question dives into, you know, Gutenberg and blocks and stuff. And I almost wonder if they're kind of related, Tom, in your opinion. So, you know, lately we see a lot of frustration that's been expressed publicly by especially some of the talking heads we're used to seeing on YouTube channels. And, you know, the confusion or the frustration is the user experience or the tools that agencies and other people might choose, you know, in editing these sites. What are your thoughts on the Gutenberg process? And to expand that question, what are your thoughts on like the agency's position within all these tools as well?
Well, I mean, I know this, Jonathan.
See, this is the question that Tom doesn't really want to get involved with. But you, Tom, but you're going to have to grin up there, aren't you, Tom?
I this is like the one thing, anywhere I go, I like, if people ask about Gutenberg, I'm like, this is the one that I'm like. So, okay, look, I say this with.
Can I interrupt again? Tom wants the best with WordPress, obviously, because a large part of his business is around WordPress. And I want the best because almost all my income comes from WordPress. So whatever we say, folks, it's for the best. We feel it. We're saying it because we want WordPress to be successful. Sorry for that, Tom, but I thought I would
say. That's good. Okay, so I am a believer and I'm all in on Gutenberg and a supporter of it because I do believe it is the future of where WordPress is going. They are putting a ton of energy and effort behind this. And I feel like, and I say this with the most respect and love for my fellow colleagues who disagree with me, but we really probably should all get on the Gutenberg bus because I do think it is going to be the standard for this. It's going to get better. Now, has it been bumpy? Absolutely. It's been super bumpy. In fact, it's bumpy for, I see agencies struggling with plugins they're used to using that are trying to start supporting Gutenberg. And it's like just the process of these plugins updating to support and take on compatibility and extend and do this really. It's a very turbulent process. It's very uncomfortable. I think the Gutenberg editor itself is making tons of it. I mean, think about how far it's come from where it was. I mean, it's amazing to, you know, see the progress that it's made. Is it where it needs to be yet? No. But I am a big believer in Gutenberg. I evangelize. My go-to solution when people ask me is Cadence and Gutenberg. And I evangelize people should be building on Gutenberg. If people ask me what builder should they learn, I say Gutenberg. I am fairly sold out on Gutenberg being the future.
That's so interesting to hear you phrase it that way. Because, you know, Jonathan and I are, you know, advocates for the whole Cadence and Gutenberg solution as well, right? But then we also have our fingers out with other developers and talking heads in the space. And it's this constant, you know, Elementor, Divi, and now Brix is like this overwhelming presence. And, you know, when I first tried to use Brix, I came on the show and said, I can't figure it out. I'm getting bright yellow flashing things on my screen. I can't select the blocks. And I'll tell you, Tom, in the last month, I've built two websites now with Brix successfully and very cleanly. But I always go back to, did I need it? Do I need to have this crutch in the back of my site to build this thing? Or could I have just done this in Gutenberg anyway? And then I started to look at other people's provided sites. Talking heads in the space looked at their websites and said, let's forget about what they say, but let's look at what they do. Let's look at their own websites. And I'm like, you could build this in blocks just like this. And so I'm starting to see that the, like you said, Gutenberg has come a long way and there's a lot of design options and spacing options and things that we used to complain about a year ago that seem to be a lot better today.
Well, I think it's all a bit of a witch's brew really, Tom, isn't it? Because I think it's the, I know this is bandied around a bit too much, Tom, but I think a lot of the problems is a total lack of consistent communication and really seeing that you're just not listening just for the PR exercise, that you really show that you're listening to your user base in a very straightforward and actionable way. And I just feel that's been totally lacking, Tom. Just sending key people onto podcasts and saying the right thing and not really doing actionable things that clearly show that you are listening I think some of the criticisms about UX and usability are justified. I also think some of the criticisms around how Gutenberg have applied intrinsic design in the solution, some of the criticisms there are totally spot on, especially when it comes to mobile, Tom, that you can't override a lot of the settings. That is just bonkers as far as I'm concerned. I have no idea. But I think that's linked to a very small group of people that are actively developing it who are not listening, Tom. And I think that causes a lot of resentment and frustration. How would you respond? Do you think I'm on the right track, or am I talking? We're friends.
I was
a friend, Tom. So
sure.
Even if you disagree with me, I have no problem with it.
Well, I don't disagree with you. What I would say is I think that those things are spot on. And I think we had a client come to us who was replatform in WordPress, and they had a big lofty enterprise project. And they had done everything in Squarespace. And
you're doing it again, Tom. You're swearing again.
And, you know, I got looking at the Squarespace. I'm like, why in the heck isn't Gutenberg doing some of this stuff? I'm like, it's hard to go from that to Gutenberg. And here's where I get into my little crystal ball. Like, why have they not listened? Because I don't know if it's people not wanting to listen. I think that there are powers that be. You also have to remember, you know, there are politics involved in this stuff at Automattic. And Automattic is an enterprise company. And we know all enterprise companies move slow, right? And so I don't know, because I got to get my crystal ball out here and figure out, like, I don't know the why behind this. But I think the questions you're asking are extremely valid questions. And I think if you take a step back, and this the other thing too is, I'm not entirely sure, and I'm not close to the Gutenberg development project, so I don't know the answer to this, but I think we have different audiences out there that Gutenberg is being built for. And so it's like, are you trying to build something for the person coming from Squarespace, or are you trying to build a more robust platform that can compete with like Webflow? Right. And so I don't know the answer to that necessarily. People more in the WordPress, you know,
I think it was linked to a conversation where we had with one of the most publicly critical evangelists against Gutenberg to some extent. That's Kevin Gehry. We had him on last week, and he just pointed, and I don't agree with everything Kevin says. I don't agree with anything anybody says totally. But he pointed out it would have been better to have built something to a high technical aimed at the quasi-professional and then work down to somebody who's a DIY person that wants to build on Squarespace to some extent.
We kind of came in the middle.
From the ground. Doing it from a DIY focus and then trying to build something that somebody, that Kevin's tribe would look at, is a bit difficult in my opinion. And
I'm not even sure we've successfully built it from the DIY perspective. We built it from the middle and we're trying to go out to both directions, you know?
Yeah, I think you're spot on there, actually. Back over to you, Kurt.
Well,
I think we're on question three, aren't we? I think you jumped to question, or did you combine both? I'm losing track of it.
Well, we talked about agencies.
Yeah.
So,
talk about AI. AI is exciting.
Yeah, this already
was. AI is exciting. So,
he wants to get off Gutenberg, Kirk, as quick as possible. Like,
get me out of Gutenberg. We didn't even get to say my catchphrase that I've been using all the shows. You know, we did talk to Matt, and he said we're only 7 years into a 10-year project.
All right, there you are.
If he keeps it on, I'll be dead. I'll be dead before that bloody thing gets finished. I'll be in my grave soon.
Wow.
I'll be dead and buried, Tom.
I love repeating that. So AI is coming. It's already here. How do you see AI changing the online businesses? Like, so, and not just like today, but if you could try and pull out that crystal ball you were just talking about, like, what's it look like a year and a half from now?
So we're doing a lot of experimentation with AI in so many different areas, and it's moving so fast. And I am a huge AI hacker. I don't know what you'd call it. I'm willing to try anything with AI.
Are we talking to the real Tom, or was this a virtual Tom?
I'm an avatar. So here's what I'll tell you my insights have been as of late, okay? So I think, aside from all the stuff you can do with AI, I think that AI is going to force companies into having founder brands, because I'm convinced AI is going to ruin written word. There's going to be so much crap on the web generated from AI that, you know, for content production, speeding up content, it's great at producing decks and documents and all sorts of things that used to take hours. You can do it minutes or seconds now. The problem is you're going to flood the web with so much content. And now we have AI avatars on video that I was playing with a platform the other day. It's scary how good it is. Talking head video, totally AI, unbelievable. And it just makes me realize that me as a real person, okay, needs to be the face of my brand. And people need to know me. They need to be able to see me at events. And I think that the importance of the founder brand idea behind a company, you are going to have a bunch of nameless, faceless companies, and you're going to have the companies where people know the founder brand, and the founder brand is the image of the company, and they know that's a real person. And I think with the rise of AI, the rise of the founder brand is going to be even more important. And I don't say that just as like the founder has to be the brand, but real people putting their sort of real presence.
I agree with you to some extent, but there's also a tricky side of this, which I've sampled myself, as you know, Tom, about being entertaining, in my opinion, and not being, because there's a lot of people that are effective as a CEO, but they're dreadfully boring, aren't they, Tom? But there's a reason, because it's safe, isn't it? But if you're pushing it a little bit, there can be consequences, can't there, Tom? So this is got any insight about that?
Well, this is the thing. I'm making a concerted effort to get out on social more. And I am not the kind of person who, I'm not on social. I don't like social media. I'm not a naturally social media oriented person. So I have to force myself to get out there, and it is challenging and it's scary. And I don't, you know, you question like, oh, is anyone going to watch this? I totally get all of that. And I think that's what's going to make it harder, like for these companies that are like behind the scenes, where you don't even know who the CEO of the company is, right? And you don't even know who the key players of the company are. They have to get out there and differentiate themselves. And maybe you can do that with a killer product and you don't need a personality behind it. Maybe it's something you've got to find people on your team to have do. Maybe it's not the CEO that wants to do it, you know? So I don't know. I'm not sure where it's going, but it is going very quickly, very fast. And I think that it's in the next 5 years, I can't even imagine where we're going to be. I really can't.
Well, hopefully you've noticed that I don't myself on, I have my little English sarcasms on social media, but I don't normally go into toxicity.
Yes.
If you look at my streams, Twitter, X, formerly known as Twitter, and other platforms, I don't think you'll find, there's only one area where I really publish my personal views, but it hardly has any following. But in general, I don't go in, but I think there is a medium way where you can be have a voice without having to go down the two paths, either being totally, you know, a lot of social media that's driven by a company is totally forgettable, isn't it? And then you got those that really want to spend all their time on these platforms in a very toxic,
yes,
kind of tribal kind of way. But I think there is a middle road. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. And in fact, you know, it's interesting because I don't like those people that do that, like toxic, combative, everything needs to be poking at people, you know, like, because that's not how who I am as a person. And so that doesn't matter.
I don't really see the point, do you? Because they're not, well, people, like, people are not going to listen. If you start going there, they're going to blank you off.
It's surprising. Some people do. Some people do, but I'm not going to build my brand that way, you know? And I think that the other thing, too, I think that's interesting is, I think, like, did you guys see the whole thing that happened with Moo, the business card people, the sticker company, or was it, yeah, Moo Stickers, I think it was? That that whole thing, I didn't even, wasn't even aware of this till I saw people from the WordPress ecosystem. You know, they posted something about the assassination of Donald Trump, one of the CEO, one of the founders did, and it was, you know, he just got scorched by people. And, you know, I sort of take the philosophy that, you know, my tribe, my customers, they're not coming to me for political commentary. They're coming to me about performance and e-commerce and sales and all of that. And so it's like, I don't feel like it's my position or role to talk about things outside of my lane. You know, it's like, you don't do business with a company to get some personal perspective. You know what I'm saying? Like, I realize why people come to Convessio, and I realize that's the thing we're going to drive value for, and we will drive value for businesses of all types. And, you know, and so I just, to me, it's always been really clear,
it's
to stay in that lane.
I look at the over 1,000 hours of material that I've produced over a 9-year period, Tom. Must be over 1,000 hours of audible and video discussion. And I got hammered for 15 minutes of that 1,000 hours. And I made a mistake, and I got hammered by a certain group for 15 minutes of 1,000 hours of content, Tom.
Right.
So it is tricky, isn't it?
Yes. That is human nature. You know, there's that story of Einstein where he wrote down, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 1 = 3. And he did five problems, and he made a mistake on the last one. And his whole classroom criticized him. And he said, I got 90% of them right, but no one said anything. And it was the one wrong one that people talked about. And that is very true of human nature, as they gravitate towards that. Now, you know, some people have the ability to turn that into positivity.
Because you must, mustn't you?
Yes, yeah. So
the alternative is the bottle, isn't it? right, this goes, so you're upbeat. I've got very mixed feelings about AI. I use a lot of it, as Kurt knows. He's amazed how much... For old phobia, I move quick, don't I, Kurt, when it comes to new technology. But also, the drifter side of it, almost every, and I'm not classifying yourself a Conversio in this bucket at all, but it's literally every company of any size seems to have jumped onto the AI bandwagon and saying, we're going to adopt AI. And and most of it's total flannel, isn't it, Tom? And in my opinion, and it does seem to have been over pumped. But I suppose that is... And I think it's going to take a bit longer to really see how it really does benefit companies and individuals in a much more coherent trend. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I think there's, right now we're in a spot where there is really good use cases. I would not classify them a trend, but I'll give you a really quick example of one way we use it that's really been awesome is, you know, we support our clients in Slack. So we have a continuous stream of Slack conversations when we support people. Well, that would be locked in Slack indefinitely. And so what we do is we literally copy and paste that conversation. And you can put that in ChatGPT and say, create a knowledge base article, create a help article, create. And so it's like repurposing stuff that would normally take a person to have to go write something down. Like that is a great, like, immediate benefit of the time that we spend supporting someone, that we can now take that and leverage it as a document that we can share with others who have the same problem. And so that is a really good use case. The case of accelerating the business processes that you do internally so that you can be more efficient, be more effective, be more communicative. So that's one of the things that I think is a just real world example of how you can take the existing basic tools that are there today is to repurpose the stuff that you're doing and get it into something that's a more shareable format.
Yeah, I also think there's an enormous amount of hypocrisy and nonsense talk about the written material, because some of the biggest brands in WordPress base their business model in churning out really low quality offshore sourced content at a mega level, basically producing internal content farms, producing content at a low quality level. And that being replaced by AI, I don't see the difference myself.
It's probably going to be better.
It's probably going to be better. And I think also blending that content with video, audio, webinars, social, community-based discussion, and blending all that into something that's attractive will be one of the key elements of online successful marketing.
Ooh, I'm stealing that. Stealing that idea. You're right. You're right. Because this goes to the founder brand, the heart of what I was saying. It's like people are going to be prioritizing real interactions with real people. And so it's even, you know, to augment my statement about the founder brand, it's not about having just the founder, but a community of people who can engage and share, because AI is going to make it really easy. You're not going to have to read. You know, I published a social media thing. One of my favorite hacks I've come up with, I don't know if anyone else is doing this. I love these long videos by like big influencers and everything where they're like, I'm going to give you these 30 tips it took me 15 years to figure out. I will copy and paste the transcript of that hour video into ChatGPT. I'll like summarize this with action items. And I don't the video.
Well, look,
you know, it's like people aren't going to read the content because that can shrink the time to digest it.
Yeah. I think the other area, which is the totally opposite, and I think will get hammered, is programmatic SEO, where you actually use scripts and to produce a flood of poor quality content and do it kind of quasar automatic. I don't do that. I've pursued a kind of hybrid pathway, and I've been very careful about that. I think Kirk, who helps me, would agree I have. But there's been others that have championed online and in the WordPress developer community programmatic SEO.
Right.
And I think they're going to get hammered myself. What's your own thoughts about that?
Yeah, we've experimented with this a bit. This whole concept of, you know, like what I tell people is we've all spent hours crafting a really awesome piece of content only to never have it rank at all. Okay. And so there's this new school of thought where it's like produce 100 pieces of programmatic content a month see what ranks, rank first, edit second, okay, is the philosophy versus the old way of doing it, which was edit the hell out of something and then never have it rank. And I mean, we've all had that. We're so proud of something, it just gets no eyeballs. And I think where I'm settling on this as we experiment with it is I think that it's like, you know, things like having your content where you're using AI to maybe generate components of an article, you know, give you statistics to put in using like Perplexity, you know, researching stuff. It's an assistant to the process of optimizing and creating a piece of content. And that is really powerful because it used to take hours and hours to do that stuff. Like, you know, throwing in schema markup and having ChatGPT put your content in ChatGPT or give me the schema code, boom, drop it into a block. You know, that to me is the way you do this in a way that's like, you know, really, really good, where you don't have to have hours of research in something. And by the way, if you're producing content for like any generic industry like travel or, you know, your research should be almost nothing now because ChatGPT can make it go so much faster.
Well, you've seen actual developers, you know, utilizing AI to assist you in the coding process. I don't think anybody would question that, but I've known a couple of people that have insanely bragged about building a whole plugin or a whole solution because they've thrown the code in.
Oh, in chat. So yeah, it's an AI code.
And,
yeah.
And I think, are you insane to publicly state that and to actually, if you think that somehow you're going to be treated as a professional programmer?
Right.
Or am I being too harsh, Tom?
No, I think it's a novelty right now. I'm not sure. You know, that type of stuff, it's like, I almost wonder if those people are doing it because they can say they did it first, you know? I don't think any real commercial company is going to have a product that, like, you just can't, you have to have people who know what they're doing at some point, you know? Maybe your MVP is done that way. Maybe you can get a few features out, but eventually you're going to have to start. You're going to have developers.
Well, I think it's a sign that they're an idiot. And, and I've known people that should know better that have promoted these people. And I just take it as a sign that they're just a drifter and an idiot because anybody that knows anything about coding, the last thing that they would be looking at it and utilize it as a tool and increase their product, you know, a lot of programming is mind-blowing repetition, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Documenting your code, that's a great use. Like, you know, we're using this for documenting code because nobody wants to document their code. That's not fun, you know? So it's really good at that. It's really good at, like, translating and troubleshooting errors in WordPress, dumping these cryptic errors in from plugins. And, you know, it's like, hey, give me five things I can do to troubleshoot this, right? So it's going to take the people who know some and amplify their capabilities significantly. But the people who know nothing, who are trying to do it all in ChatGPT or AI, they're in the danger zone because they don't know where their limits are. And they think, you know, I'm going to have a commercial plugin based on code written by AI.
So do you want to do the last question, Kurt, before you have to fly off to your...
Sure, I'm sure. I get the privilege of asking the question and I'll watch the replay to see the answer. Tom, if you had your own time machine like H.G. Wells or Doctor Who, and you could go back to the beginning of your career, which we've already established just 30 years ago, what advice would you...
He's a young man compared to me.
Well, that's a good question. I've been asked that before, and I can tell you point blank what it is. And it would be to be more fearless. You know, I think there's a lot of people that I look at that are paralyzed by fear. They just can't make a decision and they can't. And it's unfortunate. I'm not paralyzed by it, but I'm also not the most fearless person that I've seen. And I think that, You know, fear is one of the greatest inhibitors people have to reaching their maximum potential. And so be more fearless when you're young and you're just starting out and you don't have to worry about a family and a house and five cars and four kids and all that kind of stuff. Take risks, you know, take risks.
Yeah, I think that's so true. But there's a lot of family and societal pressure, isn't it, for conformity, which a lot, you know, there's a lot of group speak and group thought, isn't it? And
yeah,
if you try and say that nobody has, I have some basic principles that I will not compromise on, and I expect those that I communicate with often, or friends or tight businesses, I expect them to meet those requirements. If they don't, I don't associate myself with them.
Yes.
But everything else is discussable.
Yeah.
Because I honestly, I don't have all the answers. I'm just an average person doing my best.
I would say that's a really good point too, which is pick your friends wisely and pick people that are going to elevate you, not people that are going to drag you down, you know?
Yeah, it's one of my weaknesses. I'm a little bit forgiving with people's, the obvious is normally in front of me, but sometimes I tend not to want to see it. And I make a few too many excuses, but in some ways I think it might be better to be that way, because I'm like some other people that are very demanding and unrealistic. I suppose I'm just saying it's to find the middle ground, isn't it?
Well, you know, sometimes it takes years to figure that out though. So the fact that you know all that now is something that most 20-year-olds, 20-somethings are not going to know starting their career out. So that knowledge is hard fought experience that gets you there.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, Tom. What's the best way for people to find out more about you and Conversio?
Sure. So you can go to our website, conversio.com. You can go to LinkedIn, message me. I'm there. Twitter as well, so you can hit us up on any of the socials.
Yeah, and if you want to support the show, just share it and tell people about the show, folks. And if you're really feeling generous, leave us a review on iTunes. We haven't had any reviews for a while, but the great news recently, the audience has started to grow again, so I must be doing something right. I think it's just my guess. It's having fabulous guests like Tom that are prepared to have really fantastic discussions that make the show. We will be back next week. We've got some fabulous guests in August. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.